Welcome to the second episode of the Hands On Podcast with Jim and Dan Miller, our good buddy Pat, the Irish Potato, working the switcher booth for us. Hopefully, this time around, our tech guy didn't mess up, and we're actually on the Hands On Facebook page.
He's been fired, hopefully. So we're good.
Yeah, hopefully.
The first guy was not very good.
Listen. We had to scramble. All right, he was in the back behind the table playing with stuff the whole time. Every time we ran a test, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I'm not gonna make it. I don't feel good, and so he.
You know what? It's a trend now. We're down a man again.
Yeah.
This is episode two.
Yeah,
episode two.
The cat hair couch is empty. I feel lonely over here.
I don't know where our old man is, but hopefully he comes in.
Yeah,
soon
he should be here.
He's always late.
Yeah, he's
that's where
late.
We get it from.
So today we're gonna give the rundown of training camp. My training camp for this fight that's gonna be on Saturday at the Madison Square Garden, in New York. At UFC 205, and kind of just some ideas, and not ideas, but kind of the way that I feel, you know, that you should train. Dan and I don't necessarily agree on everything when it comes to training, but you know, it's fun to voice opinions and
to
let everybody kind of chime in. So we're going to talk about, you know, training in general, and then we'll give you a little bit more of the Miller family history, see what kind of stories we can come up with, because we don't have anything planned for that. And then we are going to get into some projects. Dan's been doing a little blacksmithing lately. He's been pounding some iron.
Pounding a lot of iron.
Yeah.
It's
so
a lot of fun.
So we're gonna get into that stuff as well, and we got some videos lined up for you, and... you can hear our sensual, sexy voices over top of it. And so UFC 205. Training's going well.
That's good. Good to hear.
You know, it's been a little while since I've had this type of momentum. Not necessarily even in like outcome of fights, but in training. It's been difficult over the years to go through a training camp and stay in the gym. And fortunately, I've been able to do that after the last two fights. So this will be my third fight in 6 months, which is pretty awesome. One, because I love to fight, and two, because I make money when I fight. So that's exciting for me. I feel good. I feel sharp because I haven't felt the need to take time off of training like I had over the last couple of years. But also with the other things going on, building out the gym and stuff like that, and things were getting in the way as well as my body. Like I said, I've been in the gym for 6 months, so I feel good. I feel sharp. I feel ready, and feeling like a young kid again. That's fun. So
you need to drink some of that Gatorade.
Yeah.
I do not feel like a young kid anymore.
You need
fat
to train.
Old slob, basically.
You need to train.
Is that where you guys differ on training philosophy? Training versus not?
Well, you know.
You know, you just jump in. Training? What the hell's training? Practice?
Yeah.
Practice? Just go.
You talking about practice?
No. I just haven't been lately in the gym as much as I should be, but been working, helping the old man out. So,
but yeah, it is tough because you know you're preparing for a fight, an actual legitimate fight. So I don't care who the fighter is and what they say in interviews and press conferences and all that stuff, there's that little bit of uncertainty and fear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's why guys train as recklessly as they do, and that's why guys get hurt and have to pull out of fights.
Yeah.
you know, it, as a professional, I know what it takes to fight, you know, and what it takes to be prepared for a fight. But yeah, I feel a lot more comfortable now being in more control over my training.
Yeah.
Because now I'm not relying on other people. While it was good, you know, it had its pluses, it also had its minuses, and now it's a lot easier for me to say, know,
today's not
today's not the day to do 8 rounds with guys rotating out of me, you know? So and you know, I kind of feel my head is swelling, my headset's getting a little bit tighter right now. But this is my 25th fight in the UFC, and I've never pulled out of a fight.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. you know?
I think it's fair to say that Jim Miller does not pull out.
I don't. I've got that problem. Yeah. Problem and a blessing at the same time. Yeah. You know, so I think I know what I'm talking about when it comes to that type of stuff. Granted, I got away with being reckless and being lucky.
Well, I mean, come on, we were
being lucky and young and flexible. And
yeah. In the beginning of our career, we were kind of crazy.
We were kind of crazy, but it was also a different room. You know, when we started training at the first gym that we started training at, it was a handful of fighters. You know, we had a couple guys that were, had established themselves there, but it was a very small room.
Yeah.
So, being 21 when I was 21, you're 23, and you know, having a wrestling background, having just that, you know, I mean, I don't have to tell you how we were fucking around at work every day, you know. We were getting into it quite a bit. So, what are you making faces for over there?
I was trying to get a behind the scenes. I'm not sure if maybe we should pause the podcast to switch the video camera quality, because we're getting a lot of people saying that they're enjoying what we're doing, but that it's freezing up pretty bad.
It's freezing up pretty bad.
So I don't know if we want to maybe throw on a technical pause and switch camera.
We need it. Well, let's talk this out.
Let's do it. Let's do it live.
Let's do
Here
it.
We go.
I ain't scared. All right. What do we got over here? I don't know. See, the only thing is I don't know if we can change it.
If you can do it midstream.
Exactly.
You just change your rhythm. You change your rhythm.
Yeah. We're gonna have to go down for a second to adjust the output.
Yeah, here we go. So we're gonna feel the comment here from Dan's wife, and she says it's pretty bad. I'm glad that she's not holding up, and her cousin thinks it sucks too.
Oh, that's awesome. It looks like Hold on, what just happened?
The volume went way up.
Yeah, it's because Fat Fingers there.
No,
the main control.
No. Because I saw us peeking over here. We're just working through some things right now, guys.
It's only number two, guys.
Give
us a break.
This is it.
All right.
We are.
I don't want to blow your eardrums out. All right, we're going to go down for like 1 minute, I promise. We'll be right back.
We should be back right about on that. Beef bringing us in strong.
Are we back?
I am seeing recording live, yep.
All right. We're giving it a shot here. Tell us what you think. We're just trying to work out our, you know, because we wanted to put out a good enough product
from the beginning.
But the Miller way, kind of cheap, kind of redneck, and
just trying to rig it up.
Yeah, just kind of rig it up. We could have gone a lot more expensive, but we also wanted to. We don't have. A studio. This is the lounge in the gym, and that's what we have.
Yeah,
that's what we have to work with. So we need something that we could break down. So getting all of our
Bobby
cameras
would
and stuff
be in
like
here
that.
Boiling pasta on top
of
our computers.
Yeah, mixing his pasta because he likes different textures of pasta. where were we? Somewhere about training. We didn't even get into like I said I had a good training camp.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Yeah, we talked about you never pulling out, and then we had some issues.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't pull out.
Never.
Nope.
Never.
So I'll take a step back, and I'll come back to training for this fight in particular. You know, it's been doing a lot of pad work, trying to sharpen up and be, I don't know, take my mind out of it inside the octagon,
yeah.
You know, and do enough and, you know, because Thiago is a dangerous striker. So,
yes,
I'm ready. I'm ready to defend leg kicks. And in that defense, I'm probably going to eat a couple, and I'm also ready for that.
Yeah.
Because that's the way you have to look at it.
Yeah.
I look at it like a swimmer getting wet. It's going to hurt when I go in there, that's just the way that it is. But yeah, that's pretty much the camp has been a little bit more focused on pad work and trying to feel good every day.
Yeah.
You know, never going too deep that it totally affects a couple other days and you know, the rest of your week, 2-3 days, you're banged up, can't move, can't drill, can't do that.
That was a mistake we made a lot.
Yeah.
Not so much early in our career, kind of mid-career.
Yeah,
When you were getting a little older, a little beat up from fights, and it would be one hard day after the next, and it was like, by the end of the week, you couldn't move.
Yeah.
And then you restarted the whole thing over again. And it was like, by that next hard day, we did a hard Wednesday, a hard Friday, and a hard Sunday. And by rolling around next Wednesday, it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, just to, you know, and then it's like, you're right back into it. And yes, it made you, kind of forced you into being in shape, and it forced you into those, you know, into situations where it was like, okay, you know, you're tired and you got used to that feeling, but
that was,
you
also
know, personally,
a problem.
personally, I have pulled out of fights and there was a lot of, you know, it was just from being beat down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, those injuries come on, you never have that day to recover. You never have 2-3 days to recover. And, kind of started to figure that at the end of my career, but then, bigger injuries happen. And
do you think that there's a component, though, early in your career, you need to build that confidence? I mean, you guys have done it so many times. You know what you can do in there, but your first couple fights.
I don't think you can build toughness. That's the problem. The you know, you either are going to be able to take a punch or not so much take a punch, so much as the ability to just be like, okay, you got hit, and you're going to, you know, keep coming forward or just continue on. Some guys, when they get hit, they kind of shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can teach that. I do think that if it's there and you go hard in the beginning, you're going to force it out of guys and make some guys quit before they really should.
Yeah.
You know, they might – I think it's like you jumping into that deep end – as, you know, a beginner fighter, I don't think it's a good idea.
No. Like, we can safely test your mettle.
Yeah.
You know, we can take you, load up a bar with 135 pounds, crank the treadmill up, and run you through a hurricane, and make you puke, and make you never want to do it again. Get your heart rate through the roof, all the while never having a punch thrown at you.
Yeah.
You know, there was one time where we did a drill where at the end of practice, we did sprints down and back, and then you'd spin around 10 times, and then someone would throw punches at you. And, oh, well, you know, it's to try to get you to be aware when you feel
what
like
if
shit.
You get, what happens if you get rocked?
Yeah.
You know, it's the feeling of being
rocked. You know, and like while you're doing it, it's like, well, coach said to do it.
Yeah.
But you think back on it, it's like, man, like because you look at some of the other guys, you look at, you know, these guys that are experiencing, you know, post-concussion syndrome and stuff like that. And it's all it takes is that one, and it's not those big shots that they're finding out. It's the those small, you know, repetitive shots and the small shots where you do continue that day of training or you do train the next day, and then you take two shots 2 days in a row. You know, it's not those knockouts that, that are giving guys problems.
It always kind of ticks me off, too, as you see guys, see coaches. They're supposed to be taking care of their fighters. And if they get knocked down and they get hurt in a round, it's like, oh, get back out there. Get back on the horse.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing you can do is send somebody back out there. Mm. You know, in a fight, it's completely different. Yeah. But in the room, you're trying to
–
you're just trying to build up the ability to fight for 15 minutes hard. Yeah. As hard as you can. You're not trying to fight every day.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous to me to see that.
Yeah, there's a difference. Like the way I look at it is, you know, it's you take those the shots to the head and that's injury. Even if it doesn't hurt, that's injury.
Yeah.
Where nut shots, eye pokes, rolling your ankle, stuff like that, that's just being hurt. And refs don't always see nut shots.
Yeah.
You know, refs don't always see eye pokes. Or maybe you get poked in the eye, but it was a punch.
Yeah.
You know, it still sucks just as bad in most cases. You know, anytime somebody touches your eyeball, it's not fun. So I make an effort to deal with those things, you know, and like, yeah, granted, I wear a tie cup now, so it's, unless it gets like, pulled off like happened to what's his face, Smiling Sam, and it, you know, where everything gets shifted out. That sucks. But yeah, the direct blows are pretty good now with the metal cup. So, but how's our video doing? Better? Worse?
It's better. It looks like it's still freezing up a little bit, and it might be the quality of the cameras coming into the switcher because I see the switcher starting to freeze a little bit. But,
well, we'll be posting a quality video.
Yeah.
We'll get posted out to iTunes, and you know, we're gonna have our own app and stuff like that for it, and all that podcasting stuff. and yeah, this is just to kind of give people an opportunity to interact with us a little bit. So let's take it. Do we have any questions?
We do. We got a couple. Yeah. I'm going to roll us back. Mark Lowe said, hey, Jim, what are your thoughts on Cowboy Cerrone fighting top 10 welterweight Gastelum this week and already calling out Damian Maia for the fight on December 30th? The guy's a shoo-in to replace Chuck Norris.
Definitely. You know, he's looking fantastic up at 70s.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. You have that sweet spot, you know, and even though he was successful at lightweight, I guarantee you those weight cuts were taking something out of his performances.
Definitely.
You know, and like me personally, I made that choice like a year and a half ago to really focus on losing weight and actually losing mass because I'm only 5'8". So it's a little bit more difficult to grow, you know, height-wise.
Width-wise, it's easy.
Yeah, you know, well, I am a grow nut. So, there's our explicit. Anyway, so yeah, so to answer your question, I think he's doing great, and you know, Gastelum's been
he's been
looking really good. So it's gonna be a really good fight, and that's actually my pick for fight of the night. That night is that one. I think that, you know, Maia is just a pain in the ass for anybody because he is so damn good at what he does. So that'd be definitely a difficult one for Cowboy. But yeah, I'd like to see him give it a shot.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so Mike Malkasian, and sorry if I butchered that, gave us an inspirational quote here. He said he doesn't care about Connor or any of those other marks. The reason he's debating spending his mortgage payment to go to UFC 205 is because of killer Jim Miller. Let's go, Jim. Alves ain't welcomed at 155.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Do not spend your mortgage payment to go see, yeah, to go see the fight. I repeat, do not do that.
We do have some dissatisfied listeners. Yep. Jeff Warsaw says, this is no stranger in a strange land, I'll tell you that.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm not sure how to decipher that. Jeff, yeah. If you want to give us a little bit more detail, we would love to tackle that issue. Yeah. I'm excited to get my teeth into it.
Pat's our bulldog.
JT Chirpokovich, and I probably butchered that one too. He wants to know how Alves is going to make 55s. I think we all want to know that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like the stalker type. I've seen one picture of him. I've seen one picture.
Looks like he lost a little mass.
He looks like he's lost a little bit of weight. You know, it still always sucks though. You know, that's like I've lost. Like I used to walk around over 180, mid 180s. And kind of coming back to that, like, sweet spot that I was just talking about Cowboy. Like, if I hit 184, my center of mass dropped. My hips got a little dumpier. And all of a sudden, I could move big men a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I still had the speed advantage against them. But I felt stronger just because of where my center of gravity was. Now, I walk around, it's difficult for me to get over 170.
Yeah.
You know, I had tough weight cut early last year, and I kind of just decided that I'm taking some mass off. So, excuse me. I put that work in, but there's still no part of me that wants to go down to 45 because I'm only doing this so that my weight cuts to 155 are easier.
Yeah.
I'd have to be walking around mid 50s to replicate. You know, the ease that I made weight the last two times at 145s. And at this point, I do not want to make it any harder than it already is because it still sucks.
The weight cut is becoming more of an issue. I mean, you can see it with other guys, too.
Mm.
It's like, I think that it should be less of an issue. You should fight more at a more comfortable weight.
Yeah.
You know, I tried it, and it was probably one of the dumber moves of my career, going to 70s.
Well, the second time.
It sucked.
The first time you had an easy one.
I had an easy cut, but it still wasn't a... I should have just stayed at eight, you know, obviously looking back. But yeah, the second one was just kind of...
I think you should get into that a little bit. There was some black blood.
No, I just showed up day before. It was like, what, 18
pounds. Yeah, I think it was like 18 pounds, something like that. So
24 hours before.
It wasn't. Well, that was the thing is it didn't come off of you earlier in the week.
Yeah.
You know, I've shown up 17, 18 pounds over, but it comes off and then, you know, you're dealing with like 10 in the last little bit.
Yeah, for some reason it just didn't come off during the week. I mean, I did it a couple months prior and, for some reason, coming in, I came in, you know, I think I came in a pound or two heavier than I did to the prior weight cut. And I don't know. I did the water cut, and I gained a little weight. And then all of a sudden, it's 24 hours before weigh-ins, and, you know, they used to make you step on the scale, and you check your weight, and I step on the scale, and... I was, you know, 188 or 189.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody stepped down. I'm like, fucking son of a bitch. Jim's stepping on the scale or Constantino stepping on the scale. I step off. I'm like, guys, get away from the scale.
It's not funny. On.
Yeah, it's not funny. I look at it. I was like, holy fuck. And I actually had the thought of like, all right, like brief thought. It was like, all right, I'll get down. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I said I was going to make weight. I'm going to make weight. And I remember thinking, like, this is going to be the worst night of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just physically, this is going to be the worst night of my life. And it was.
It was.
It was pretty bad. Like, Jim actually had to put my underwear on.
Yeah.
That's how out of it I was. I could not.
It's a good brother,
I think. Put my own underwear on. I laid on the ground and just left my underwear on. I was able to pick my hiney up. That's about it.
At that point, I should have been like, you know what?
Yeah, it was just.
We should probably It probably should have been a little. I should have made the call a little bit before that, seeing how you were doing. But,
yeah. But
you
know,
live, you live, and you learn. Luckily, you lived.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Coming up
don't
from
do
the after weigh-ins, like we came up in the elevator, and I physically couldn't stand in the. I had to sit down and kind of lay against the wall in the elevator, and then almost crawl to my room. And then just, you know, we actually did the IV at that point, and it's still, like, every time I've done the IV in the past, and I've had shitty weight cuts, you know, for a bunch of other fights prior, you have that, like, it just doesn't come off the same. For some reason, you did something wrong during the weight cut, it just doesn't come off the same. And this one, like, but then you do the IV, and within an hour, 2 hours, you're like, you know, you feel better. This one was like, I'm getting the IV, first bag, you know, second bag, and I'm just like, I did not feel, I was not getting any better. It was not, you know, it wasn't fun, but, but again, you learn.
Yeah.
And,
So this was a different time, when you could IV.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, how do you think that has changed the weigh-in game?
I think it requires you to come in closer to weight because of the potential, you know, brain trauma. You know, once they put the IV ban in, you saw a lot of guys that weren't getting rocked.
Yeah.
Getting rocked or knocked out. And, you know, it's just... it's one of those things that I know what they're trying to do with that rule. They're trying to get rid of blood doping, but I think it's dangerous. I think it's dangerous to us, and you know, you kind of have to respect it. You have to abide by it. And you have to understand that, you know, if you do cut a lot of weight, you're at a higher risk to get concussed or to get knocked out and stuff. I'd rather be healthy and be able to remember my kids' names when I'm 45, but fighting guys who are sauced up.
Yeah.
In my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Because, you know. We know that it doesn't make them hit any harder. It makes it so they can train more.
Yeah.
And that's why they take it, so that they can recover more, because they train like assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And they need it to recover from those types of workouts. And is that an advantage? Yes, it's an advantage, but it doesn't make you hit harder. You know. And
yeah, for somebody that's not taking anything, it's not as... dangerous.
Yeah, I find it much more dangerous to not be able to IV than if my opponents were on every drug under the sun.
No, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Oh, look who it is!
And you know what? I pointed over there.
He pointed over so you could grab him a beer.
Yeah, I asked for a beer, and he gets himself a beer, and he sits down.
Fine,
one way bastard.
I'm dry over here.
Yeah.
What do you want?
No,
you guys are
get
assholes.
The heck out of here. Go back in the
drink. Here I am,
drinking water.
One and three quarters gallons
no.
deep.
1 3/4 gallons. Good.
Hey, we got another question from Randall. He wants to know if you have any comments on a possible fighters union with after career health care / pensions.
I think that is the idea, you know, that's what we want. Well, that's at least personally, that's what I want out of it, you know, like, it's one of the hardest parts about being a fighter. Cause you, in order to compete at this level, there are guys that have certain jobs that allows them to train, like they need to. Stipe being one of them, you know?
Yeah.
But most jobs, you can't keep the job and train like you need to. to compete. You know, even though I just said that we weren't training, you know, like maniacs like we used to, you still need to put in the work. You still need to put in the time and get those reps in, get your lifting and get your cardio in. And you're talking about from striking arts to wrestling to ground arts and do all this stuff. So you take away benefits and all that stuff and potential for health care. You know, we have injury insurance, but there are still people out there that think that it's actually health insurance, and it's not.
No.
There's like a $5,000 deductible. It's if you explode your face.
Yeah.
You know, if you're training and your knee goes backwards or something like that, would be the only time you would actually use it.
And it's only during...
I believe it's while on contract now, because it seems like there are a couple other guys that used it. But yeah, it's like a catastrophic injury insurance.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see some type of pension, some type of benefits plan. That'd be the biggest thing, I think, in my opinion, just to help guys after their career. It's a very unforgiving sport. You know, it's awesome, but it takes a lot out of you at the same time.
Hey, Randall's got a pretty good follow-up question here, too. Yep. He wants to know more about the celebration beer we have on ice.
The celebration beer on ice? You know, we were too lazy. Not really too lazy, but
too busy.
Too busy.
You were too lazy.
I was too lazy, yeah.
Yeah.
You weren't too lazy.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. to throw you weren't too lazy to throw some peppercorns in a fucking bad beer, you dummy.
yeah, okay. Guess what? Guess what, clown? I'll be in your basement tomorrow morning at friggin' 4 o'clock.
You're gonna be pounding on anything in my basement.
throwing shit around and waking your ass up.
Nothing in particular. I was able to partake in some Oktoberfest because they had them out in August.
Yeah.
So, nothing in particular. Just, I usually fight. We go out to dinner. I have a beer and a bacon cheeseburger. Maybe some buffalo wings if my lip is not mangled. and sometimes I suffer through it.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
That is one of the worst ones. Is after a fight, if your lip gets busted up or your mouth gets busted up. Because one of the best things ever is after a fight, you're just eating some buffalo wings.
Yeah.
And your mouth gets busted up and then burning.
I'm confident, and I'm going to speak for every single fighter that's ever fought, that buffalo wings after a fight is probably the best thing ever.
Yeah. You got me.
I'm pretty confident when I say that you guys love buffalo wings with a love so pure that I envy it. I want that in my life. I don't think there's anyone who loves buffalo wings.
My kids are jealous.
That and corned beef.
My kids are jealous.
That and corned beef. All right. Let's take one more, and then we'll get into some smithing, right?
Yeah. Brett Kaplan wants to know what you plan on doing to Tiago on Saturday night.
I plan on beating him, man. You know, I'm not the type that goes in with the game plan, honestly. I'm not good at that. You know, Pat is a blue belt, and if you told me to do a certain thing to Pat, I probably couldn't do it to him.
Like, he couldn't choke him, that's for sure.
No, I could definitely choke.
Yeah, not the rear naked choke.
He can't get the rear naked choke.
I choked him with one arm.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. No, I don't remember
you wouldn't. But I'm not a game planner. Where I'm my best is just kind of going out and doing stuff and and kind of just hopping on opportunities. So however the fight goes.
Didn't Marissa choke him with one arm too?
Probably.
Lots of people choke me.
Yeah.
I think the best was Brooke. Brooke is how old? 14?
Yeah, she's 15.
15, yeah. And how much does she weigh?
112.
Maybe 112 pounds. And she had me in an arm bar that was so good that if I didn't tap, she would have broken
it was
my
a,
arm.
Yeah, it was a screamer.
Legit. I got out on the first one. I was able to hitchhike her out. And she's got great jiu-jitsu. I don't care what anybody says. And she wrapped her leg around my head. I went to hitchhike her. It didn't go. I tried to go back, and she cranked it on. Yeah. So I'm not ashamed of that. Her jiu-jitsu is significantly better than mine. She's an orange belt because she's too young. Yeah. But I say she's at least a brown belt once she turns 16.
Yeah.
We got one more question we have to take. It's from Sean Francis, and he wants to know, what are some of your favorite 80s bows that get you through those tough workouts?
Everything he stole from his old man.
I feel like that's a plant question.
That is.
It's just, it's
that
too
is,
good.
It is. There's too many. There is. Yes. Thank you, Sean. It doesn't matter what channel on iTunes I put on. Aerosmith, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing comes on. Now, granted, that's not an 80s song, but Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is, that one always comes on.
The one we used to work out at Martin Rooney's up in Parise's.
Oh.
Literally,
well,
Kiss came on every single time we...
Yeah. I PR'd. Every single time. Every time. I Was Made for Love and you came on, I'd PR.
He would PR and then dance.
Yeah.
And sing.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with it.
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just stating a fact.
Fan of facts Foreigner, facts. Journey, Hall & Oates.
Yeah, yeah.
Lionel Richie. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right, so we're going to jump on a little
bit. We're going to transition into a little bit of actually, like, hands-on stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we came up with the name. Very, very creative and intuitive on our part. You know, we do stuff, you know. Our dad, he always sat around and...
Yeah. Yeah, we were bored as kids.
Yeah. They do stuff.
My dad
stuff.
Didn't really ever do anything much.
What the hell
TV.
Does do stuff mean?
What do
you think
it means?
You know, we have our projects. You know, if you're tuning into this, you probably have seen some interviews and stuff like that here and there that we get into things
and stuff out.
And Dan, as of lately, has the bastard.
What kind of stuff do you do?
The bastard secretly got a forge and an anvil, and apparently like an 1,800 pound anvil.
No,
by the size of it.
It's only 500 pounds.
It's only 500.
It's 440 pounds.
Yeah. He just, like, secretly gets it. You know, doesn't tell me at all.
I told you.
No, you told me, like, I'm going to try to get some blacksmith stuff.
See, yeah,
so
anyway.
He's been blacksmithing a little bit.
I've been wanting to do this for a long time. And, you know, it was like, all right, whatever. You know, I guess now's the time.
Yeah.
You know, I found the anvil on Craigslist. And, you know, everything I've read is like, you know, go as big as, you know, go bigger. Basically, find an anvil you want and then go one step bigger. Well, I found this 200 kilo anvil on Craigslist. And I was like, hell yeah. That's what I'm going for. But yeah, so I got an anvil and I got actually, I was going to borrow Jim's forge. Jim's got a coal forge, but then. Where
just
I'm living right
rivet.
Now.
Yeah, a little rivet forge. It would be a pain
in
the butt.
Yeah, isn't. So I went out and I got a propane forge, and I've been doing some, doing some blacksmithing. The old man's been helping me out a little bit. He's my striker sometimes. He misses a couple times. Yeah.
Never. Fucking never.
I've made a few things. I've made some bottle openers.
Hey, I'm going to throw up the antler on the cast. I want to...
Yeah.
Let me go. Boom. Let's talk through that.
Yeah. So up there, that's a antler that I shot. No, actually, I found that in the woods.
he shot an antler.
Yeah, I shot that. I shot the antler right off.
The deer was unharmed.
Yeah,
the deer was unharmed. So then I made a tenon on a piece of 3/4-inch stock and I drilled out the antler, cut a piece off, drilled it out. Pat will show you the next one photo.
Bam, it's going to take a second,
yeah.
So why don't you tell us
so
your favorite
anyway,
color.
This is where I'm at now. I have the tenon and the bottle opener, and I have the antler drilled out. Still trying to figure out a way to attach it. I think I'm going to pin it put some epoxy in there, and then I'll sand it off, and file it up. I made a couple other ones, just basically trying the stuff out. Not really. I never really go in with any kind of idea like I'm going to do this. I just start hammering away and figure it out, and as I'm going, I just kind of see where it goes. But
I need to open.
Had a file, an old file. Actually, this is where it originally came from. They had this old rasp file that I was going to make a knife out of.
That you got out of my toolbox. When
I
you
may
were
have
kid.
Gotten it out of his toolbox. I may not have. Who the hell knows?
Yeah. Well, the problem
at
is
this
that
point, at this point, who cares?
Yeah. It was all if rusty was, and nasty, wait, so it does not matter.
I think we need
it
to clarify
when
though.
I had it.
A toolbox.
It was not
a toolbox or a 5 gallon bucket.
No,
a quarter full of water.
No,
with a bunch of sockets in it.
Old no. frigging beer case of beer.
Yeah. Case of beer box. That's
one of the,
my dad carries this.
One of the waxed Budweiser boxes.
Yeah, the waxed Budweiser box. Yeah. They made great toolboxes.
They did. Yeah,
they lasted at least friggin' 2 months.
Yeah, and then every time you needed them, what would you do? Sit there, rifle through it, dump it out, swearing your head off.
Because you got into it and messed it up.
Yeah,
okay. I always knew where. Come on, I knew where everything was.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
As an impartial third party, I have never seen anyone's tools so disorganized. I've been to the house, and the spackle bucket has been filling with rain. It's always rusted. And if you could locate a single socket in that set, I would be amazed.
Yeah.
That's an impartial third party view. Yeah.
My truck's running.
Amazing. And did you use the perfect tool?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Of course.
But yeah, so anyway, back to the knot. Back to the blacksmithing. So, we've been doing things. We've made knives. Jim's made knives. When I had this old rasp file that I had, and originally that's where the blacksmithing kind of came from. I wanted to make this knife out of it. Saw a couple things on the internet. So I started making... a kitchen knife, basically. You know, first thing I did was I cut a small piece off, heated in the forge, tempered it to make sure the steel was good inside. Because sometimes you get old files or something like that were case hardened, or they'll wrap good steel around crappy steel, just a mild steel, so it doesn't get hard. So I tested the steel. It came out actually really hard. I have no idea what it is.
Hmm.
But I know it's it's a pretty good carbon steel, high carbon steel. So I kind of started just hammering it out, and I have a knife.
I'm gonna throw up the picture here.
Yeah.
Of the knife.
So that is before I some shaping. I kind of was just playing with ideas of what the knife was gonna look like. I actually made two because there's a little piece that I had cut off of the. Of the end of the big knife, and I made a small paring knife out of it. I was kind of playing with it. I have a knife that is shaped just like this, and I don't know what the name of it is. In my kitchen, I use it all the time. What is it, Nakuri?
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, the Japanese vegetable knife.
Yeah.
I think you just need to say it with confidence and have somebody challenge it.
Nakiri, I think, and I have really don't know how to pronounce it or what the name is, but I enjoy using that knife, and I've always wanted a carbon steel knife. So I when I was hammering it out, I kind of saw that shape and I was like, that's the shape I'm gonna go for, and so here it is. Still needs some filing. It still needs some shaping. And then I have to send it over to Jim to sharpen it because he is much better at sharpening than I am.
I want to know when that debate was settled because that was almost as heated as who's faster.
No,
who's a better sharpener.
I never
argued
that I was a better sharpener than Jim.
It's with this guy over here that thinks his chipped and rolled edges are like, oh, this is super sharp.
The sharpest knife you've ever used.
Check these knife skills.
Barely.
Okay.
He's good with
We're gonna have to have his
sharpening skills.
His chop off. Who's gonna have a chop off with me?
We'll have knife skills.
I will have knife skills.
Dad, you don't have knife skills.
It's not about knife skills. We weren't talking about knife skills.
Okay.
We're talking about sharpening skills.
All right.
I will have a chopping contest with you any day. Any day.
You will?
I will. I will. Dad, I shaved my arm in the parking lot of physical therapy with my knife because I had shaved my other arm the day before. And then I showed up and I was like, shit, I can't go in there like this. So I sat in the parking lot and I took my razor sharp knife and I shaved my other arm.
Your knives aren't even close, Dad. It's not even a debate. You can't debate this. You can't. Yeah, you can chop garlic. This is like a little chopper. He's like... But...
Ronco.
Yeah, it's Ronco.
Not even it's my debate. Super sharp Ronco knife. Did you get the rotisserie with that
one? What do you mean? Chop. We can slice, too. You want to have a slicing contest?
Get the heck out of here. Get out of here. So anyway, there's a video of kind of just hammering the knife out.
Pat looks troubled.
Yeah, he does look troubled.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I am troubled. It looks like we are Valerian steel is what somebody wrote in. Valerian steel is hysterical. Regardless, it looks like the everything's frozen, all the video. On the switcher is frozen solid. It has been for a little while.
Oh, that's awesome. Yep. You need to speak up, bro.
Yeah, I was hoping it would fix itself, and it didn't work.
Just shake it a little bit.
Yeah, come on. Clap it twice.
Uh-huh. Well, if the video is frozen, there's no sense in showing the video.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess technically, if it's still recording.
Well, that's still not that bad. You got a hell of a lot more fucking up to do than to catch up to the
last. Yeah, I am on the correct page.
Oh,
so,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We're doing pretty good right out of the gate.
Listen, honest mistake. Honest mistake. You guys didn't get here until like 8:30.
That's not true.
It's 8:25.
8:15.
Nothing. Either way.
Bring me in.
You're on. We
are we up?
We are recording.
Are we
live,
back
yeah.
up? We broke the internet.
We broke
the internet. Dan popped a bottle of bubbly on his hiney and splashed it around and broke the internet.
You got to do what you got to do.
And our tech guy this week is not as good as our tech guy last
week.
That
is something we were discussing while off air. Yeah. And I'm in agreement that I think Jim did a better job last week. I think we might have to get rid of our tech guy.
Yeah.
We're
going to bring everything in-house.
Yeah. It's just...
No, I think we should.
I still didn't hit record.
No, we should put it to the people that don't follow Jim's personal page.
Oh, yeah, there
you
go.
Did
you
enjoy this week's show better than last week's show that you couldn't see at all?
Yeah,
which one would you vote for?
They probably liked mine better.
Yeah, because they could watch it later on the Hans the Hans on.
Welcome to the Hans on podcast. Big summer blowout.
Yeah, so. We're going to
show you a short clip of some
short clip. Spinning. Yeah, and then
we'll get over that.
We'll
real
get
quick.
Into a little story time.
Now listen, when you see the clip, my backyard is a little redneck.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little redneck.
A little bit.
But
not
it's
redneck.
Just the way we are.
White trash.
Hickbilly.
Yeah, it's kind of white trash.
Hillbilly.
But
hickbilly.
What do you mean hickbilly? Stop hick making
billy.
Stuff
yeah,
up.
Well, you're not a hill. You're not in the hills.
Hills.
So okay. We're in the Hicks?
We're
yeah,
the Hicks.
You're just a Hick.
Here we go. Talk us through this.
All right. So this was making the knife. This is kind of shaping the handle. Really, there's not much to talk about other than here. I'm just I'm kind of drawing the handle out, bringing it down, and then trying to keep it at an even thickness. So you can see me. I'm hitting it down, taking it down to, I think I took it down to around 3/4 inch in width. And then you'll see me turn it back over because as you're squishing the steel that way, it makes it fatter on that side. I don't really know how to explain it. But so you'll see me hit it
down.
We've
all played
with
Play-Doh before.
Yes.
So
then I'll hit it back the other way to keep it kind of consistent, even. This is just rough this is still in the beginning, so it's very rough. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I actually really enjoy it. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I hope to continue doing it a lot. And I'm extremely happy that I was the first one to do it.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Jim has had a forge in his garage for
for way too long.
Yeah, way, way too long, and has not used it. So
yeah,
I'm glad that I got stole the chance to do it. It steal nothing. I was talking to you about it before, then you just went up
stole to all the pliers.
Yeah, I did steal all your all his tongs, so you can't do it anyway.
You know who stole my tongs is my son.
Did he?
I found them 18 times. You find them like strewn about the lawn.
That's pretty cool.
What the hell? Fucking Jonathan Alvarez.
And you only have one grabbing them.
Yeah.
Not three little bastards. Yeah.
I think that's a perfect lead-in for Miller family history.
Yeah. Miller family history. Yep.
So, yeah, we'll get into kind of back to kind of where we came from as a family. Not that we didn't have things, not that we didn't have a lot of. We weren't like poor, but everything that we had.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's not a knock on you, Dad, at all.
The fact that you're a douche is a knock on you.
Yeah, you're a complete douchebag. But
that's not a knock on me. That's a very admirable personal trait.
That he has
somebody's
got to
make that sacrifice
through the years. No, it's not a knock on you because you gave us a lot and you allowed us to do a lot of things. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Have you ever like worked with him?
Have I ever?
Like,
are you serious?
Worked with him?
Allowed?
I have been
worked with me doing what? What kind of work are you talking?
About? I don't know, fixing cars, stuff like that. See,
what do you mean? Are you asking him?
I'm not.
You're
saying,
asking a guy who broke every fucking car he ever had.
That
did
was,
I work with? Him?
Listen, well, I'd be like, that was a trait that you passed down. Yeah. And I that was something that I every car that I ever drove, I was like, yeah, fuck it.
Let me
attest to that.
Yeah, I've been.
We'll go back to that last week we talked about.
Okay, yeah.
A
so
truck
you want
a wooden bed. That, you know, it was an awesome gift, yet my father gave it to me as a gift. Believe me, it was fucking awesome. You know, getting a 1986 Toyota truck with a wooden bed, kind of sounds like crap, but I thoroughly enjoyed that truck.
It did have a plow on the front of it, too.
It did have a plow, which was completely rusted through. You couldn't use it as a plow.
It was a battering ram.
Yeah. So I used the plow pump.
Well, that's the thing.
As a battering ram.
If he had a brand new F-250, what did he do the first week he had that truck, Pat? You guys were on some golf course doing who knows what.
So it doesn't matter.
First of all, I don't know why you got a you guys. I was not driving. Yeah.
And, well, you came out the back way, and there's a gate there. So what'd you do? Well, let's ram through the gate.
Nope.
Now, if it was a brand new F-250,
it would have run right through that fucking thing.
He would have ran through
the gate. You had to hit it four or five times.
The gate was taken out with the Toyota.
And I did pass that down.
So
I got a brand new 1984 Ford pickup. First day on the job, kid was making fun of me that worked with me. He had a Scout because it wasn't four-wheel drive. And there was a huge pile of gravel in the freaking cul-de-sac. So he's like, let's see if your truck can go over that. I said, well, you go first in the Scout. So he goes in the Scout and he gets stuck on the top. So he's like, oh, now I'm teetering on the top. And I was like, well, you lose, you're stuck. He goes, well, you didn't go over it. So I'm not stuck. So I went over, grabbed the straw bale that was covering the retention pond, strapped it to the front of the truck, got going down doing about 30, up the stone pile and rammed him in the ass, knocked him off the front of it, backed the truck up, you know, 100 feet, hit second gear and hit the pile, got airborne over the top, and I beat him. And the truck was a day old. A freaking day old. So that's why he never got a new truck, because I knew what he would do.
Sure.
There's an ass-ramming joke that we missed.
Just going to let it lie. There's boxes that we have to check for iTunes that we don't want to.
So, yeah. So anyway, we... you know, that was a great gift, and it was awesome. But you know,
I'm glad you got cars, and then I got the ones that
you got beat up. Yeah, you got the ones that I crashed and burned up. And but hey, at least
Michael's
you got
amigo. Yeah,
I got the shadow after Michael. But anyway, so we'll go on. I did get a new truck later on in life. I was working with my dad and got a new truck.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks later, I put a giant dent in the side.
I don't even think it was a full 2 weeks.
No, I think it was like a week. Yeah. It was literally a week, and we went off-road, and I tried to get around this gate, and I put a huge dent in the back of the bed. Motherfucker.
And then he dodged an animal when he ripped the freaking front tire off. I swerved to avoid hitting a raccoon.
Yes.
Yeah, drunk
exactly
on your ass.
Right. No,
yeah.
No,
no,
no. Not a chance.
We are hunters, avid outdoorsmen, and we respect nature. Yeah. And what Dan did was he saved some nature that night.
Yeah.
He's a hero.
Sure.
Daniel, you're a hero.
Later on, I was going to shoot him. But.
Yeah.
I saved him at that point. I wasn't going to run him over. That's not fair, Chase.
Nope.
So I swerved and I took two tires out. But anyway.
So the moral of the story is that Dan Miller breaks things.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It's a hashtag on, what is it, Beefalo Breaks Things? There's a pretty popular hashtag on Instagram. If you need something broken, Dan Miller's your man.
Especially if it's new. It's nice.
Okay, now back to, did he ever work with me? Why? Yeah. Well, what's the problem with working with me?
Yeah, let's go back to that.
Because you always, like, working on, I don't even know what car.
Yeah, that's not the kind of stuff I was talking about.
I know. Well, I'm saying, like,
he
allowed
okay.
us, he allowed us to work on stuff.
Working
like,
on
Dad,
a boat?
Not allow
Dad,
you to do anything.
Working
Dad,
on
a boat?
Dad, I can get my hand in there, Dad.
No, but later on in life, Dad, anytime we worked on anything, it was like, we got to fix our car. He would jump in. He's just like Pat. He would jump in and butt you.
That's because we know what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah.
Are you
because
serious?
Dan Miller breaks things.
These guys
go back to my
these
first
guys
point.
When they do it, they look like two monkeys trying to fuck a
are
football.
You, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
There's been a lot of facts dropped on the podcast in the last 15 minutes.
He's definitely earned his way back to the soundproof box.
Yeah. All right. He's done. Back to 3 minutes with Mike.
Oh, see.
You're only getting 3 minutes at the end.
And I got to build this soundproof box.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the only one who could build anything.
Yep. Okay, so you never liked working on cars with me.
No.
I was making a comment that working
you
with
can
you
get your hand in there.
Isn't working with you. It's
watching.
Watching me
it's
work.
You pushing everybody out of the way and then hitting your head 18 times on
well,
the
I
lift and
and cursing. There's some of the most amazing cursing I've ever heard when the boss is working on a car. Curses
well,
that
I'm working
people
anywhere.
Have never heard before.
Mm-hmm. He makes stuff up.
Yeah. He's a great cursor.
Yeah, that guy in Christmas Story? No. What was that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Ralphie's dad.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was thinking more like SpongeBob.
No, it was way worse than Ralphie's dad.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, one time, I was young. I don't know how old I was. Maybe 17, 18. I think I was still in high school. My dad was working downstairs. And I think he was working on the boiler, on the hot water heater. And, you know, so obviously something was going wrong. And my mom and I are standing upstairs talking, and you hear, fucking A, stick a broom up my ass and call me asshole. And my mom like, what?
Classic line.
Yeah. What did he just say? Where the hell did that come from? That is not even a swear. Like, what the... That, you know, it's just stuff like that comes out of his mouth whenever he's working on vehicles and or anything.
Anything,
boats, basically.
Vehicles.
Boats. Yeah. That was probably, so one of the, not that it was like an awesome time. So, again, we had stuff, we got stuff as kids. And we went places. We used to frequent Lake George during the summer. And we had boats. We had a boat, but it was not... I'm not going to say... It's like a... Like, it was probably like my dad would travel around pretty much anywhere, you know, everywhere. And he would search for the cheapest boat he could possibly get. And he would buy, you know, would buy the boat. Well, every time we went somewhere, something broke.
Mm-hmm.
Literally every time. We would go up Lake George and it would be like, oh, we're spending, you know, a week up at Lake George. And we'd get up there.
No, the we boat, had 2 good years.
Yeah, well, we put the boat in the water and the boat would break. Or the truck would break down. The one time mm-hmm. he had to do, what did you have to do? A whole engine job while we were up there. And so the boat broke the 1 year. And he's fixing it and getting just frustrated and fixing it. I can't even tell the story without laughing. Him and, I think it was Jim and I were sitting inside watching him, and he's swearing his head off
on top. We were like shooting the pellet guns or something. Like. We were out there.
Oh, yeah. We were on the porch. And
shooting the pellet guns at me.
No. Not, that wasn't at that time.
Different time, different game.
So he's working on the boat, swearing his head off. And he goes to jump down, and he jumps off the back of the boat. And he didn't jump very far, and the trailer hit him right in the back, right in the spine, I think. And he starts going off, swearing his head off. And holding his back, just swearing, like, just, you know, just fucking looking up in the sky, swearing his head off. And it's not really that funny, but at the time it was hilarious. No, it still isn't very funny.
That's why you're laughing.
Cracking up, Started cracking up. Oh, my God, it was pretty funny. And that's just basically the story of our... Like, we had stuff, but it always broke, basically.
Yeah. Just like the internet here.
Yeah, just like the internet here. So it's not that the Beefalo breaks anything.
Hey.
It's that was me, sorry.
Yeah, it was you.
It's the boss. He broke it. He broke the internet here. And he broke everything else. But, you know, you know, we had stuff and you know, but, you know, we lived kind of that hillbilly kind of redneck.
Lived. Look at the picture.
Still live. Still it live. Never leaves you.
No,
that's
you
the,
can't,
that's the
you can't get away
it
from it.
You know,
can't get away from it.
I try, but then, you know, in the picture you can see is I got my boat and then I got the ladder that the kids climb in the boat in and out when they're swimming. You know.
Yeah.
The cut off wood ladder.
All right.
Yeah.
I think that's all we got for you tonight.
Yeah.
We are going to be back again. We're going to be back in the New York groove.
Maybe. Hopefully the internet's good.
Yeah.
That's at the hotel, so it's going to have to be.
Yeah, it should be pretty good. We're going to come at you live Friday night. You know, it'll be after weigh-ins.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you a unique perspective of what happens in those last couple of days and what
video of all the stuff.
Yeah, we'll try to get some video and the nice thing about having our sketch together podcast is that it's mobile. So we'll be able to bring it into the city and. Yeah, do one on Friday night, and then
what hotel are you in?
I can't remember. I'm not saying it on air.
It's secret.
No,
Dad.
I don't even remember.
Why? Because we're gonna set up in the lobby, right?
No, not on this one.
What? You scared?
No.
No.
And so yes, so the mobility. We're gonna use it this Friday. We're going to be...
You mean we're doing this in your hotel room?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're going to be coming at you from the hotel room.
Holy...
Probably
wait
not.
Wait till you see Friday night.
Probably not the old man.
It's going to be just like 1984.
Yeah. Yep. and then we'll be able to go mobile here And we're gonna do some shows from inside the cage.
Yeah.
And we may or may not be wearing pants.
Maybe.
Singlets. Yeah. So, stick with us and tune in on Friday night, 9:00 Eastern Time. And we'll be coming at you live from New York City on the eve of UFC 205. I'm so excited. Thank you from everybody here. Jim, Dan Miller, Pat, the old crazy guy. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to the Hands On Podcast. We'll catch you on Friday.
Have a good night.